Welcome to E-commerce Scaling Secrets podcast. So on this podcast, we interview the best minds in online advertising and in e-commerce. And I share my personal experience spending over $40 million on paid advertising annually for our clients and their own business. So welcome to this podcast, guys.
Hello, guys. Alex Fedorov here. And today we have a very special guest. This guy is expert in measurement analytics. This guy will show you the secrets to tracking and just understanding your numbers in business better. This is Chris Mercer from Measurement Marketing.io. And Chris is an expert, and he's spoken on this topic on conferences like Traffic and Conversion, Conversion Excel. He's created like the training materials for Conversion Excel. I know they're like, Conversion Excel, they select pretty much like they do very like, from what I know, like very like rigorous process in terms of like who they choose to create courses for them. So the fact that you have the trainings is amazing, and you've been so happy to have you.
Definitely, man. Happy to be here. Happy to help.
That's awesome, Chris. So you guys are specializing. How many years you've been in like with tracking, with analytics, with all of those?
That's a good question. I want to say it's around 7 or 8 years now that we've been sort of knee deep in measurement. We first started out training people how to do WordPress sites with a WordPress site. And then we built WordPress sites. And then we moved into CRO, which is how I met everybody over at CXL and Pat and his team and everything else. And then in optimizing, you've got to measure, right? And so that's where we set up Google Analytics. So we would set up a site, we would deliver the site to the client, and we would say, okay, well, now let's go look at your Google Analytics. We've set up your analytics, so you can see your leads and blah, 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 blah. And that's all anybody wanted to talk about. And then people would start referring us, but not to get their websites built. It was like, hey, my friend, you know, you set up their analytics for their site. We don't need a site, but could you set up our analytics? And that's where we really got into measurement. And that's how measurementmarketing.io was born.
That's very interesting. So in terms of like, so you do like Google Analytics, or you do use some other platforms as well?
It's a good question. Primarily, it's Google Analytics or the Google suite of the Google Marketing, let's say. Uh-huh. So that's Tag Manager, that's Google Analytics, that's Google Data Studio for the reporting. And then there are other tools that we, of course, use, right? Because your numbers won't just come from platforms like Analytics. Some of them will come from Facebook Ads Manager. Some of them will come from Google Ads. Some of them will come from your cart system, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Other platforms that are out there, like there's Microsoft Clarity, which is a pretty good platform. For more visual stuff, like, you know, the screen recordings and things like that. Mm-hmm. Hotjar, right? Another good example, True Conversion, tools like that, that do that as well. So it's a smattering of tools, but when somebody's just starting out, Google first and foremost, get Google and learn that, because it's so good. It's so powerful for what it can do. It's just that most people don't use it properly.
And it's free by itself, right? As a tool, 100%. It's free.
Exactly right. The budget's right. Yeah. For the vast majority of users, it's free. It's 99%. The only people that need to pay for it are if you have, you know, hundreds of millions of users. And at that point, you're a big giant company that can afford $150,000 price tag, you know, so not a big deal. The free versions for the most people, that's absolutely fine.
Wow. That's incredible. I think just like a lot of people, they don't use it properly, or they don't use it at all, or they don't use it properly, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's two really types of people. There's the first person that comes in and says, well, I'm just going to like turn it on. And this is not their fault, right? I think a lot of this is kind of on Google, to be honest, because it's like, it's so easy to get started. It's like, oh, put the code on the page, or turn on your integration in Shopify, yeah, or install this plugin. Yeah, exactly. And then you start seeing data and you think, oh, well, I'm going to go start using Google Analytics. Uh-huh. But the problem is it hasn't been set up. It's just been turned on. And there's confusion. People think because they turned it on that it's been set up, but it's not. It's two different things. And they don't realize they have to set it up. So kind of like if I gave you a kid's book, right? Like a children's book. And I say, hey, read me this children's book. You probably could read it to me just fine. But if I take that book, rip out the pages, and then rip those pages up, and then hand everything back to you and say, okay, now read me this book. Could you do it? Right? And the answer is you could, because I didn't change your ability to read, right? You're still a good reader. Yeah. But it's harder to figure out what's going on, because you got to take time and stitch together the pieces and figure out the story. Maybe some of the pieces fall on the floor, so you can't find them. So you got to make up some stuff, make up some assumptions. Mm-hmm. Google Analytics by default is a bunch of ripped up puzzle pieces. And that's why when people come back in there and they're like, I tried to use it, but it's just too confusing. Of course it is. I get you. I understand that. It is confusing, and it's not you. It's because it's not set up. It's a bunch of ripped up puzzle pieces. But when you set it up properly, you'll be able to read it as a story, as a kid's book. It can literally be that simple to do.
Let's take an example of, let's say, e-commerce store, because, I mean, most of our audience, like, they're like e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's say a person like runs e-commerce business owner, and let's say they're doing like $200,000 per month in sales. Like, so they have it, like, they just made it, as you said, right? They just turn it on, right? They have it, like, maybe the code, the tracking code on the Shopify website. What exactly are they missing? What is that distinguish? You said, like, you could set it up or you could have it, like, just turn it on. Like, what's the main distinguish between those two things, and how to, like, kind of, like, what parts are included in setting it up properly?
It's a good question. So in measurement marketing, there's really three key steps that everybody should go through. The first is you plan. That's where people skip. They just skip that stuff. Planning is important first. Then you build, where you actually start using tools like Google Analytics or, you know, integrating it with Shopify and stuff like that. Then you act upon the information that's back there, right? So the first stage in planning, there's really three key steps to that, which is first, you think about all the questions you're trying to answer. So what results am I getting? How am I getting those results is basically what the questions are, right? So you listed all these different questions out. Then you list out all the information that you're going to need to collect in order to get those answers. So in the example of like an e-commerce store, it's how many people are seeing my product detail page views, and of those, how many people are adding to cart? So that means you're going to need to, that's the question you might ask, right? Mm-hmm. So now in order to collect that information, you got to know page views. How many people saw the product detail page view? How many people actually clicked the add to cart button, right? You measure for that. Then the third part of planning, and this is the most important part, is action. Nobody does this, but this is the key. This is the secret sauce to planning, is you role play ahead of time. It's before you open up analytics or anything else, before you even start that process. You go, okay, if the number is this, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Or if the answer is that, I'm going to do this instead. So if going back to like add to carts, it's like, okay, well, we expect 30% of the people to add between, let's say 30 to 35% of the people to add to cart of this particular product. Mm-hmm. If it's lower than that, we're going to go look at that product detail page, especially if it's in relation to other product detail pages underperforming, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say all the other product pages, 30, 40%, this is 15%. Then you go, okay, we're going to look at this product detail page and figure out what is it? Oh, this one only has two images. The other ones have seven images. Okay, maybe we boost up the images. Maybe the images are crappy quality. Let's improve the quality. Maybe this one just didn't have a compelling of an offer. It didn't offer free shipping when it should have, right? That sort of thing. And you fix that. If it's higher, right? There's two things that have happened. One is maybe it's giving you a clue. Maybe you put a video on that one, but the other ones don't have videos. You're like, ooh, maybe we should add videos to the other ones. Maybe we can boost the conversion rates, right? Maybe that's the market telling us we like this a lot. We should do this. Mm-hmm. Or it could be that you can't scale traffic, right? Because it's just the exact right audience. Maybe they're like returning buyers, but that page doesn't get a lot of page views. And your goal is like, no, maybe we can scale the traffic a little bit because it works really well. We just get more people, you know, to see the page. And then we can net out some more sales. But you think about all that stuff in the planning stage before you open up analytics, before you even start using analytics. Once you have your plan, now you've kind of got a rough idea of questions you're trying to answer, the information you need to collect to get the answers, and what actions you would take once you get the answers. You know all of that now. You move into build.
And I think for like, you know, for e-commerce entrepreneurs, like, I mean, in our industry, a lot of people, they're using like paid traffic, right?
Yep.
They're using like Facebook ads. Yeah. They're using Google Ads, you know, so I think having kind of like, as well as part of that kind of like initial planning, okay, so our goal is to accurately measure the return, because like Facebook, like underreports, overreports, you know, since last like update, right?
Yeah. Everything's
so all over the place, yeah. Right?
Yep.
And kind of like that also should be, right? Like in that initial planning, okay, so our goal is to accurately measure or at least increase the accuracy of us.
And so we always call accuracy the A word, because accuracy doesn't exist ever. Never, ever did it exist. It did not exist. It was a mirage anyway. Mm-hmm. But there is no such thing as accuracy, right? The only way to get true accuracy is to hire half of the world to follow around the other half of the world. And even then, you would only get their opinion of what happened, not accuracy, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. what you really want is a useful truth. You want to get enough information so you can see trends and patterns. That's what you're looking for. So it's trends and patterns. And this is the phrase to remember. The truth is in the trend, the power is in the pattern. And when you do that, and you go, okay, I look for trends and patterns, that's what tells you if things are working the way they're supposed to be working. And if they're not, you'll see exactly what step is not working. So if you go back to the planning stage, right? We talk about questions, information, and action. One of the questions you could be asking would be, okay, I need to know if my Facebook ad spend is returning an investment, right? If for $100 I'm spending, am I making $150 in revenue or whatever the thing is you're trying to do? That could be the question. What information will I need? I'll need to know ad spend from Facebook. I'll need to know page views from Google Analytics. I'll need to know sales from my cart system. And then actions. What actions will I take? Well, if it's less than $100, then I'm going to think about the campaign and maybe just rework the whole thing because it's trash. If it's $150, okay, then I'm going to try to scale the campaign, right? And you sort of think about that. Then you move into the build phase. And this is where it's important because you can't answer these questions if you just collect a bunch of information, right? And remember, that's just ripped up pages. That's what information is. If you, as if you're watching this and you're like, oh, I go to my analytics and I have no idea what to do. That's just because you're seeing a bunch of information. It's not your fault. It's just a bunch of information, a bunch of ripped up puzzle pieces, right? So instead we go, okay, now that we are starting to do the build phase, go to Google Analytics and define, you have to tell it the traffic sources. So you have to tell it the who, what, and why. Who is sending you traffic, right? Who's sending you traffic? What type of traffic are they sending you? Why are they sending it? So for example, in the case of Facebook, and this is what you would do is something called UTM parameters that you can use in Google Analytics. It's easy to do this, but the structure is important. So it's not just using UTMs, it's how you use them that's important. So you might say Facebook is the source because it's a Facebook ad.
Yep.
It's CPC because it's paid traffic, right? Let's say that's the type of traffic coming from Facebook. And the point of this would be like in our case, we have the Measure Marketing Academy, which is like our flagship product that trains all the stuff, right? So I might say Academy is the point. But then what I will do is I will further define it and say, and this specific ad's job is to get them aware of the Academy. That's it. Which means for us, I might say that means they come to the page, the Academy offer page, and they stick around for at least 10 seconds. That's the point of the ad. Once that ad does its job, it's a conversion. I'm done. That's all the ad was supposed to do. Then it goes into retargeting of a whole bunch of other, right? Who's now the second job of that ad is to say, well, I'm talking to people who are aware of the Academy. I just need to get them to engage and be interested in the Academy. And I might define that as, well, they have to be on the page and look at the offer for at least 4 seconds. And if they don't do that, then they're going to keep getting ads to help them to do that until they do that. Once they do that, they go to a whole retargeting group whose job it is to get them to actually buy the product, right? Now, remember, if somebody bought on the awareness ad, no big deal. They don't get put in retargeting audiences anyway because they're taken out because they're already buyers. So, but if they don't buy, there's automatic retargeting that comes back. And I can track and I can measure in Google Analytics and say, did the Facebook ad, not Facebook, because that's too general. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Did my Facebook ads, whose job it was to make people aware, did it do its job? Did the Facebook ads, whose job it was to make people engage, did it do its job? The Facebook ads, whose job it was to get them to complete that journey, did it do its job? You know, and that's easy to measure for. You know, because you set up the traffic and results in your Google Analytics. So I'd set up goals for each of those stages and steps. I can tie the traffic sources to those goals. And I can very quickly go into my Google Analytics and see a story, quite literally a story that says, oh, here's how Facebook works. Facebook is, maybe it's Google Organic that's really good at making people aware that Facebook retargeting is really good about getting them to engage and become a lead. And then email is what closes the sale. Well, now I start to understand how my marketing machinery works, right? And now I can say, this is how we market. We do a lot of awareness advertising. Things like this is awareness, right? Where I'm going, talking to you and your tribe and helping out your people. I understand some of those people are going to come over to us, right? And so it's like, okay, that's perfect. That's what we want. And so it's like, we can measure for that. And I can have a forecast of how my marketing is supposed to be working. And then I can measure against it to see, okay, is it doing this job or not, right? Does a podcast help? Does a webinar help? Mm-hmm. Is it better for me to do paid ads, right? Are they achieving the result they want that I need them to achieve? But I'm not thinking about dollars and cents. That's just one of the results, right? The sale is an important thing because it gets the credit card, of course. But there's lots of other sales along the way that as marketers, we forget to measure for, which is a shame because that's where all the secret sauce is in those steps. And if you're not measuring for that customer journey, you don't see the micro conversions along the way, you have no idea where you left it. Did they come to the product detail page and leave within 10 seconds? Did they stick around that product detail page for more than 10 seconds? Did they even click in the photos? That's a very different person. Somebody came to the page, clicked around the photos of that product and then left versus somebody who came to the page and then left immediately. Two different issues. So It's like, okay, they kind of virtually took the product off the shelf and won. The other one, they were like, oops, wait, no, I'm not even interested. Let's move on. You don't want to retarget both people with the same message because they're two different behaviors. And if you don't know that as a marketer, then you can't tell Facebook, hey, go send somebody, go show them this ad or go show them that ad instead. And that's what the beauty of measurement allows us to do, is to do exactly that.
All of these things, like, I mean, you work with like thousands of entrepreneurs, you know, throughout the years. So do you think like anyone can be like as data driven, you know, when making decisions, or it just like, you know, as some people more like they have like left side of the brain, or some people have like right side of the brain?
That's such a good question. Because I personally, it goes back to that children's book example. If I say to you, here's a book, I need you to read it, you could read it. But if I rip up the pages, I give you the book and you go, well, now I can't read it. It's like, no, you're still a reader. I didn't take your ability away to read, right? And that's what numbers people do. So imagine that with numbers people now. So it's like, okay, I'm not a numbers person, or I am a numbers person. And people have this belief about themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So the difference is, if you look at it, if you imagine a Google Analytics report, which I know are boring and geeky, right? 100% they are. But if you get into them, there are two types of people. One type of person sees the numbers and they see the behaviors behind those numbers. So they see not just 1,000 people page views. They see, oh, 1,000 people saw the homepage and 250 people then opted in, and then 30 people then bought, right? After the initial offer, whatever the thing was. They see the behaviors. Those people are numbers people because they see what those numbers represent. They're looking through the numbers. They look past the numbers. Mm-hmm. People who are not quote unquote numbers people, they just see numbers and they don't look past them. They don't understand. It never occurred to them that those numbers just represent behaviors. And once you realize that, you're like, oh, this just represents behaviors. These numbers are just a representation of behaviors on the page. You visualize 1,000 people going to your site. You visualize 250 people opting in, right? You visualize that. And the numbers are just a map now that shows you what's happening. And now you're like, cool. So now you don't see numbers anymore. You see behaviors. And oddly enough, because you don't see the numbers anymore, you're now a numbers person because you understand how to work with them now. So you can absolutely learn how to do that.
Wow. That's awesome. And do you think like, so in terms of the, so you work with different type of companies, mm-hmm. like the companies that like truly like take advantage of the data, of the metrics, from what you have seen, do those companies have like a dedicated like business analyst or on the team, or data like analytics person on the team, or that just like someone can have all of these skills, let's say like marketing person on the team, or the business owner himself can have all of these skills on top of everything he can do. Just kind of like
it's a good question. So the answer I think is I hate to give him the consultant answer, but it's true, is like, it depends. Uh-huh. And it depends on the size of the business, really. Yeah. Right.
Let's say business, but 20 people, like 2 million a year.
100%. You should already have dedicated measurement. Either way, here's how I would answer the question. I think the answer is the same, even though it is technically, it depends, but it's the same general answer, which is measurement used to be, and this is what it used to be, let's say a couple of years ago versus what it's quickly becoming now. Mm. And there's two types of companies. There are companies that treat measurement like a project, like, oh, we'll build a site and then we'll send a bunch of traffic. And then we'll wonder what the hell happened to it. And they bring in measurement to the table after the fact. They're like, hey, we just gave Facebook 50 grand. What happened to it? Because it didn't give us as much as it did last month. And then people are like, well, I don't know. Like we weren't measured for it. Was it? I don't know what happened. I don't know what broke. It was working before. It's what I call the curse of a good offer. Because when you first start out, you start with $1,000, and then you start out with $2,000, and you go $5,000, and $10,000, and it keeps making money. And you're like, Facebook is awesome. So you ramp it up, and all of a sudden, Facebook takes the money one day, and you're like, oh, what happened? And your instant reaction is, of course, I'm going to go figure out what happened. Nobody knows because nobody was looking at it. Right. So measurement's a project, and then they realize it's a problem, and then it's a big nightmare. That's the first type of company. What's starting to happen is people are getting ahead of the curve, and they're starting to make sure that measurement is now a department in their companies. So measurement, and what I mean by that is not that it's like, oh, let's go bring the measurement people up to the table now. Measurement people come to the table up front. So it's, and we're doing this with a very large national client at the moment, where a big brand name that everybody would know, but they're redesigning their site. Site's not redesigned yet, right? They're redesigning their site, and they are bringing us to help them come up with a measurement strategy so they can figure out, is the site working the way it's supposed to? So they've got the development team, they've got us, they've got themselves as the marketing team, and we're all coming together using our special powers to say, okay, here's what this new site's going to do. Here's how it should be working. How will the site let us know if they're achieving the results? Are we listening to the behaviors from the users that we want to elicit? What are we going to do based on those behaviors? How do we measure for that? That includes structuring the URLs, what things are on the page, what actions are being recorded on that page, all that sort of stuff, right? That's what's so important about measurement. And when you do that, you put yourself ahead of the curve for sure. That's the cutting edge right now, is companies that are doing that and bringing measurement to the front. That's what's important. So if you're a one-man shop, That's a one person job, right? One man, one woman, one person job. You have to be measuring, but you have to be measuring from the start, right? Even if it's just you, you do it at your best. You don't have to be an expert in it. That's cool. Just do what you can. You got a team of people. There should be people dedicated to measurement, and they should be brought up front in the planning process when you're like, hey, we're doing this new product. Great. Here's the new product page that's about to be released. Let's make sure it's being measured properly first. That's part of the QA before we put it out live, right? And that's what I mean by, you know, the answer is kind of the same in that measurement has to be thought of as a department, just like your developers are a department, just like marketing's a department. Measurement is just a department. But bring it up in the conversation earlier. The sooner you talk to people that are measuring stuff, the easier it's going to be to measure things, and the easier it's going to be able to get your answers to be able to figure out what actions to take next.
That's very interesting. What would be the job title of, for example, the person on the team that, like, business analyst, or that, what is...
So that's a really, really good question. I personally, that's why we created measuremarketing.io, because I think that it depends on the size of the organization, where you get so big at enterprise level, right? Where there's hundreds and thousands of employees, uh-huh. where you have data analysts and data scientists, and they are into stats. They are into spreadsheets. They are doing math. They're doing R and Python and all this other stuff. And I get all that. And I think that's important to have, but you need massive amounts of data for that. And mm-hmm. most organizations, especially small businesses, don't have the data required to take advantage of all this machine learning and AI and everything else that everybody keeps trending topics on. You need massive amounts of data to pick out patterns. Most companies don't have that data. So you don't necessarily need a data analyst or a data scientist. And if you did have one, what probably can happen, not guaranteed, but a lot of times what happens is that person is so into the math of it that they don't understand the marketing. They're divorced from it. So the marketer says, hey, we're trying to figure out what's going on. And that person, let's go to the data team. The data team says, great, here's a spreadsheet of a bunch of numbers. And the marketers go like, oh, all right, well, we got the report. And that's happened a lot. I know a lot of data people who are great people, but they don't understand how to translate the numbers into action, right? So they send a report that the marketing team opens and goes, I don't know what this means. And they skip it. So data people feel upset because they're working for basically no reason, because they're just busy work. Marketers are upset because they're not getting the numbers, but they know the numbers are there. They just don't know what to do with the numbers. And nobody talks to each other because neither one wants to admit that they don't know the other side. Hence measurement marketer, which is where it's like, okay, let's create, that's what we do, is we wanted to create a training program where we're not going to teach R and Python and stats and all that, because I think some of that's overkill. We're not going to teach you how to be a better copywriter either, right? From a copy perspective or a marketing perspective. But we need people in an organization that understand numbers and how to translate that into a story of what the behaviors are that it's happening on the site so that marketers could go, oh, okay, people are landing my product detail pages and they're not sticking around for 10 seconds. Therefore, let's go figure out why that might happen. As an example, let's say there's an ad for sweaters and you click over to the product detail page and you realize, man, this ad for sweaters, we're measuring for this and there's nobody that's sticking around more than 10 seconds. What's going on? They are clearly not engaging, but the other ads seem to be working. And you see this and you go, okay, well, let's go look and find out why. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the ad for sweaters points to a page where the landing page above the fold is for jeans. And you go, okay, well, that's the disconnect. We're not matching the expectation. The numbers told us that. The market told us that because their behaviors, not sticking around on the page when they were sticking around the other pages. And we knew as marketing team to go focus on that. It wasn't, we had to gut it out. We randomly check. We can see in the report, the market told us that, the numbers told us that. And that's the idea. You want to have a measurement marketer, somebody that knows a little bit of both worlds. They're not perfect at either one. They don't have to be. They have to be good enough at translating a number into a behavior, telling a story and going, hey, this is the story we want. This is what we want to have happen. It's totally fine. In which case the answer is scale more traffic, get more eyeballs. Yep. But if it's not working the way you want it to work, then you optimize, right? You optimize for the stuff that's not working right.
Wow. In terms of the, like, since the iOS update, like, was the Google Analytics kind of the amount of data you would see there, like, was it impacted compared to, like, before they implemented it? Like, in terms of...
Yeah. It's a good question. So the answer is yes, and does not matter. You know, scares people because they're like, what do I mean? How do you, I can't measure people. Oh my God. So here's what's going on. Here's why this doesn't matter. There's a storm right now, right? That we're in the middle of, which is this tech storm where iOS has changed, of course. That's the one that everybody knows about because Facebook freaked everybody out.
Yeah.
Totally Facebook's fault. This didn't have to happen. This is Facebook's fault because they publicly freaked out everybody as often as they could because they thought they could move the needle. And clearly they were the only ones freaked out. Everybody else just moved on. but Facebook causes issues. So you got iOS is the one everybody's talking about. But 2 years ago now, Safari did changes that took away some stuff. Mm-hmm. Next year, Google Chrome is doing some big changes that are taking away some stuff where we're not going to have as much measurement as we once did. Mm-hmm. So it's we have this tech issue of ad blockers extensions, right? You've got browsers like Brave. You've got things like DuckDuckGo that keep people from being measured. More and more people every day, more people will be using these tools to, mm-hmm. from a technical perspective, not be measured, right? So you have that storm that we're currently in. However, there is another storm that we are currently in, which is things like GDPR, right? Things like Brazil's law, California's law that recently came out, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, we're going to have, guess what? More laws, not less, in 5 years, right? The US mm-hmm. will certainly have a law eventually about data privacy. It's just gonna be more and more and more, just will. So you've got the storm of laws that are coming through. So you've got government laws, you've got the tech platforms that are changing stuff. And we're in another storm, which is users. It's the people waking up going, I don't think I like Facebook's vision of privacy doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? Which is kind of Mark Zuckerberg's famous quotes. Like, people won't care about privacy. They, for a period of time, that was true. Now they very much care about privacy. They will care more about privacy in the future, not less, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So these big giant storms are all colliding to create this massive superstorm. Whereas marketers, we got very, very used to thinking we can collect as much as we want about whoever we want all the time, and it just didn't matter. And we did, because the platforms made it so easy. So we collected everything. So yep. what we did is we got used to thinking we needed to know every single thing about every single person all the time. And when that went away, which it's doing, and it will continue to, beyond iOS, there's gonna be a lot more stuff that'll happen that'll cause what I call invisible data, which is they're there, they're still using your site, you just don't know that, right? You can't measure for that, but they're there. What'll happen is there'll be more invisible data. There's going to be more data there that you will just not be able to measure for. And that's okay, because you don't need to know where every single fish is in the lake in order to catch fish. You just need to know where most of the fish are most of the time. So mm-hmm. what I mean by that is it's truth in the trend, power in the pattern again. You just need to measure enough to find trends and patterns. Because when you find the trend and when you find the pattern, that generally stays there. It doesn't matter how big, how many people it is. You know, and getting a little geeky here, if you think about statistics, uh-huh. there's something called sample size, right? Anybody that does any split testing knows about sample size, conversion optimization, things like that. You have to have enough of a sample size in order to validate your result, to know if your result's a true result or not. So in measurement, sample size, it still works. Like, you might, in order to figure out, let's say in order to predict, and I'm gonna rough out these numbers, it won't be exact, but the uh-huh. idea will be communicated. If I need to know how 100 people are going to react on my site, I really need to measure all 100 people. I need to ask all 100 people kind of mm-hmm. what they're doing to predict out 100 people, right? I just need to ask them all. So I need a sample size of basically 100%. If I need to do that for 1,000 people, I might have to ask 800 or 900 people to mm-hmm. predict out how the full 1,000 are gonna go. If I want to do it for 10,000 people, I might only have to do maybe 5,000 or 6,000, mm-hmm. right? So now I'm at percentage wise, I'm only having to ask a smaller percentage of my audience to figure out how everybody else is going to basically react. So if I want to do 100,000, it's like 10,000. What right? works? A million is like 10,000.
On a smaller scale would work on a bigger scale, right? Like typically, yes. like the patterns repeat themselves.
Yep, it's exactly right. Because once you get that trend, like once you, this is why if you said, hey, I got an opt-in coming in from cold traffic, I can. If that's working, I would say, well, it's probably what, 25 to 35%, somewhere in there. Uh-huh. It'll be that. There's no will, because that's how humans are. This is the benefit of trends. That's what I mean by powers in the trend, right? Or sorry, truth is in the trend, powers in the pattern. If you said, hey, I have a webinar, I'd be like, and you told me that 100% showed up, I'd say you're full. There's no way. It's not a thing. But I bet you about a third did, maybe 25 to 35%
yeah,
did.
That's it.
Because that's what webinar shows do. Because why? Because your webinar is different than my webinar. This is how webinars are. That's how patterns are. It's how behaviors go. It's mm-hmm. how humans are. And because we know that, we have benchmarks and we can predict that. I can say, if I do a webinar a year from now, I'll probably have a show rate of 25 to 35%. I just know that because I can bet. This is where you can start to forecast your results now and say, okay, here's how this webinar funnel should work. Here's how much the ad spend should come in and where the drop-off's going to be. How many people I'm going to ask to actually do my offer and how many people should take the offer. This is the power of trends and patterns. I already know these numbers now and I haven't measured anything, right? Imagine if I measured just some of it. So I don't freak out. This is what I mean by it doesn't matter. I don't, about the whole iOS thing. I don't freak out that the map has changed because the territory is the same, right? Like you look at Google Maps and Google Maps helps you to get through the road somehow, but you don't literally stare at that map. You stare through your windshield. You look at the actual territory, yeah. right? That's what matters. the territory hasn't changed. The map is different now. The map just got an update. And it's basically saying, listen, we can't see all the side streets we used to, but we can still see all the main roads. You can still get from point A to point B. It's cool. We don't have the level of detail like satellite view anymore. You just have the general view without the satellite view. Great. I don't care. I can still use a map. No big deal. That's the idea of measurement, because even though I can't measure everybody, I can still measure enough to figure out how my funnels work, how my customer journeys work.
And what do you see like the biggest, again, like you probably see like a lot of entrepreneurs, you see the thing they do like right, the thing they do wrong. So what are the major mistakes that you see that entrepreneurs are making when it comes to numbers and tracking and measurement?
The biggest mistake we talked about already, which was they don't bring measurement to the front of the table. They don't bring them to the table up front. It's an afterthought, right? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest mistake. Especially if they have a good offer that works right away, because then they don't even think about it until it breaks. And normally that's at a point where they've scaled out so much that it costs them some serious money. And now they're freaked out because every day costs them money now. Every day is negative and they have no idea why, because they weren't measuring for the machinery. So that's the number one mistake, is not measuring at all. The second mistake I would say is not having forecasts. That's the second biggest, is not being able to say, so for example, we have a lot of people come to us and say, well, I'm just trying to figure out how people are using our blog, or I'm just trying to figure out how people are going through our homepage, or I'm just trying to figure out how people are using our store, right? The very first question I ask them immediately is, well, how are they supposed to be using your store? There's always blank stares because they've never thought about it. They've never thought like, oh, well, 30% of the people should be using the top nav, 20% should be using the bottom nav, the rest of them should be in the middle, and 15% of people are going to exit at any point. Okay, that's fair. Everybody else is like, oh, I don't know. And yet, if you think about, and I always use offline world and online world. Mm-hmm. If you think about the offline world, would you ever build a shoe store and like throw the shoes on the top of the roof to just see how people used your store and be like, oh no, turns out no one's going to the roof. I guess we'll move them. No, you have an understanding of how you would build a shoe store. You have an understanding of where you would put the shoes. You have an expectation of how people will meander through the shoe store. Are you going to put the socks way at the back? Are you going to put the socks up by the checkout? Probably up by the checkout. Why? Because you have an expectation that as they're going, they might as well pick up some socks. It makes sense. They already have shoes. Why not? It's a good upsell, mm-hmm. right? And you have an expectation of how the store should flow and how the store should work. Then you measure, right? You analyze that flow and make sure that it's working the way we want it to. But in digital marketing, nobody does that. It's ridiculous because they should. It's not hard to do it. Just nobody realized they should be asking that question. Again, not their fault. Just never realized that they could. But when you ask that question, you go, oh, that's a good question. I don't know how people should be using our store. Well, let's figure that out. Let's guess what do we think is happening? Then you measure against your forecast. Even if you're guessing in the beginning, it's totally cool. As long as you guess, you have to have some idea of how it should be working. Mm-hmm. Then you go to a platform like Google Analytics and say, is it working that way, right? Or you create a data studio report or something else that shows you, you know, how things are operating. But we don't do anything at MeasureMarket.io for any of our own stuff. Every single thing has got a forecast. I know what our expectations are for next week. For us, I know what they are by week for the rest of the year, right? We're recording this in May 2021. I already have it down through December by week, what our expectations are, you know? And it's not just, here's what my money is. It's here's how many page views we're going to have. Here's how many cart views are going to be from those page views. Here's how many people are going to make it through the cart of those people that see the cart. Here's what the average price is going to be, you know? And that's what determines revenue. And we measure against it. Are we hitting those? And if we're not hitting that, if the percentage isn't working, because that's the efficiencies, right? What percentage go from point A to point B and point B to point C, right? When we measure for those percentages, if we're not hitting the percentage that we want to hit, we then look at the page and see, okay, is it the traffic source? Was it an off week or whatever? Or is there something that the market changed? We have to adjust the pages or the copy. And then we make adjustments and then make sure that we're on track and we're hitting our expectations again. Kind of like when you're driving a car and it gets a little bumpy because you started going a little off-road. You're like, oh, it's getting bumpy. Let's make some adjustments, right? You don't just go, well, I guess we just go off road now, which is what a lot of people do. They're like, well, I don't know. I guess it's what, you know, is the things change. Like, no, just steer a little bit, right? But measurement is how we steer. Another way to think about measurement is like a conversation. If going back to that shoe store example, mm-hmm. you come into my shoe store and I say to you, hey, how's it going? Great. We're going to help you find. Oh, sneakers. Okay, perfect. Let me go find you some sneakers. Let's try some on. Okay. And let's upsell the socks on the way, right? Give you a coupon to come back the next time and bring your friend or whatever. All of that happens. I'm having a conversation with you. There's a transaction going on, but there's different stages. First, it's got to make sure you want shoes. Second, I got to make sure what type of shoes you want. Third, got to make sure you actually try on the shoes. Third, you know, fourth, buy and commit to buy, then get the upsell, then get you to come back, right? So there's all these little micro stages that I'm trying to get as a salesperson through this conversation. Mm-hmm. Digitally, we are doing the same thing. Just a lot of marketers forgot that. The difference is there is no person now that the user's talking to. They're talking to your website. So your website, technically the web page itself, so product detail page or the homepage, they all have different purposes. Exactly. It's a proxy.
How many prospects, how many leads, right? How many sales? What is the average order value?
Yes. And are they going through the store in the right way? Are they coming into the product detail pages? Are they getting lost in your collection pages? Are they coming into product detail pages and adding to cart? Are they even looking at stuff? Are they looking at your reviews? Because a lot of people just throw up stuff like, oh, you got to have reviews. Okay, awesome. I get it. Do they have an impact? Right? Well, you can measure and see how many people actually looked at the reviews for at least 5 seconds. Or is it just the fact you have a review section? Or does it even matter? You can prove all of that. Right. And if we, as marketers, it's our job to listen to their side of the conversation, to the user's side. Right. And how we listen is through measurement. It's like Google Analytics and Tag Manager and Data Studio. That's how we listen to their side of the conversation. As marketers, how do we respond? That's the marketing side, where we change the ads in Facebook, or we change the targeting, or we change the copy, or we change the offers. Right. That's how we keep the conversation going. But it's through the website that's in the middle. That's the go between. And that's what measure marketing is all about, is listening for that conversation using tools like this.
Wow. So you would say like Google Analytics is enough for like 90% of people, 99% of people.
Yeah.
So there are tools like Hirers. Have you heard of Hirers?
Mm-hmm.
Hirers. Yep. Have you seen it like really like making a big difference like in attribution, or like you would just stick with Google Analytics?
I personally stick with Google Analytics. I could get all the answers I need from that platform. I think there is a use case for other platforms like Hirers or Wicked Reports, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
They work a little differently. They require some setup. Some are going to be a little simpler to get started. I am a big fan of get good enough to get going. So if you want to use Hirers because it's simpler and easier and you have more faith in the numbers, awesome. Use that. Mm-hmm. But just keep in mind, it's truth and trend powers in the pattern still, right? And if there's ever a platform that's screaming accuracy, I wouldn't trust that ever, because accuracy doesn't exist. It's not a thing in the measurement world. Every person who's a real data person knows it. But there is a representation, right? There is a useful truth, and that's what you're looking for. And you can use tools like Google Analytics to get a really good useful truth, as well as these other tools, Wicked Reports, Hirers, they will all show useful truth as well. But they still require setup, and there is no push button simple, like, oh, you just put a piece of code and then you don't have to worry about anything and it'll always be right all the time, no matter what. The world is way too complicated, too many tech stacks smashing into each other.
Otherwise, yeah. People will not buy it.
Exactly right. It's exactly right. There's always something. So I personally, again, we're very good at the analytics, Tag Manager, Data Studio stuff. And we found that answers every question we've ever had. So we don't need to use the other platforms. But if you're finding, and I'm personally a fan of maxing out your tech before you jump onto other tech, right? Because it's really easy to jump on the latest trends, right? Very easy. And everybody jumps around all the time. But at a certain point, you got to like stop the madness, you know?
Mm.
So Google Analytics is going to be around forever, just will. You know, Google Analytics 4, especially, it's a brand new platform that Google came out with, right? We haven't talked about that, but Google Analytics 4 is built for the world of tomorrow. It's built for the Internet of Things. It's built to measure all sorts of stuff that only Google knows we're going to be even asking questions about in 6 years, because they have a very different vantage point of the Internet, right? They're much higher up in that mountain. They see what's coming down the pike, and they know that some of these other platforms may stop working because of how they're built, but GA4 is different. GA4 is built with this concept of understanding that it's going to be in a world where there's imperfect data and it's not going to be able to measure stuff. So it's going to use machine learning to fill in the gaps and conversion modeling, same thing Facebook's doing. And then you see all these massive, that's what I look at, with the massive, gigantic platforms, what are they doing and which direction are they going? And that's where they're headed. So I still personally would recommend, again, I'm very biased 100% because I teach this stuff. So consider the source, but they're free tools. They are complicated. They are. A lot of moving pieces, for sure. But if you get really good at them, you'll be able to make them do backflips, and you'll be able to get answers to whatever questions you want. I'm betting, right? No matter what people are asking for, they can get answers from them. Mm-hmm. And they'll have a better understanding of their numbers because they're the ones that put them there, right? And that's a different feeling than having to rely on a system that's a little more black box, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, put the code on the page and then we'll tell you what's up. Okay, but that number, and this happens all the time. People are like, even with analytics, people are like, that doesn't feel right. But how do you know if it is or not, right? Well, if you're the one that put the number there, if it isn't right, you'll even know why, because you understand how it got there. But if you're just relying on a black box system to be like, and you don't know how it got there, then what happens is you just stop trusting it, you know? And then once that loose thread happens, you start losing trust in everything. And then it's just, you're right back to where you started. So I like using the tools and then moving into other tools. We're triangulating, where you use Google Analytics and you use Hirers to get their version of the truth, because everyone's going to have a different version of the truth, right? Because they have different advantages. And you say, okay, if both say the conversion rate doubled, that's awesome. If one says the conversion rate was 50% and one says the conversion rate was 30%, but before they used to say 25% and 15%, like, I don't care if the numbers are off. I just care that they both say they doubled, right? Because the trends are the same. That's what I look for in platforms like that.
That's awesome. How do you typically work with your clients?
In terms of like the different levels that we have?
How do you typically collaborate? How do you help entrepreneurs with their marketing, like
magic? So we have three levels. We have a done for you level is kind of our tip top, right? Where it's us doing the work and setting everything up. This is for companies who do not have the muscle on their team. They don't have headcount for it. They are big enough. They're all marketers and they have no data people or measurement people or people that can handle the load. They bring us on. We only do that for very few companies now and for very long-term contracts because we're brought on to be that team member, basically. Right? So that's how we do it from the done-for-you level. We also work with our certified measurement marketers and can help introduce companies to those individuals that we've trained to do this as well. But it's always for long-term commitments because the company doesn't want to hire headcount or it's not a full-time position for them yet. Maybe it's not, you know, but they need the measurement. So they bring in somebody for a year or two to help pitch it. So that's that. We have a done with you training where this is for a lot of corporations where a team, you know, a company owner or something might understand like, hey, I like this measurement stuff. I need that in our organization and I need somebody to train that, make sure it gets done. It's an accountability thing. So as opposed to just buying them a membership site that they never use, they do private guided training. Our instructors are then assigned to their team. They have a Slack channel with their team in it. And then our instructors keep them accountable moving forward and making sure that by the end of, you know, it's a long-term project, but by the end of that, you know, certainly within the first 13 weeks, they've got kind of the beginnings at least of a measurement marketing culture now. Mm-hmm. And whether you're sending out emails or running Facebook paid traffic or just building reports, everybody's understanding.
Culture, you said.
It's that measurement marketing culture.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, we've had that. We experienced that. I mean, not on this particular level, but I mean, on this level as well, but also with, you know, with our sales team, like, we started to track numbers more accurately and we just noticed like the performance doubled just because we started tracking them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Cause you were asking the questions, right? Uh-huh. Cause you knew to ask the questions. And that's sort of the final level that we have, which is the one that most people are using obviously, which is the do-it-yourself stuff, right? Where it's like, we have the Measurement Marketing Academy, it's our training program, it's all membership site. You can go in there and, you know, we have an Ask Instructor support system. So you can, this is the difference between I think ours and others is yes, it's a bunch of videos and courses and everything you're gonna want is back there, but we all know we're going to get stuck because sometimes you watch even a YouTube video. It's like, it's not about how to set a goal in Google Analytics. It's like, what should a goal be? And what do I do with it once I got it measured? Right. That's the hard part. It's not how to set, anybody can teach how to set up a goal. Yes, we have that stuff in there, but we really focus on the strategy stuff. Right. And then when you get stuck, where you're like, well, I'm not sure if my goal should be this or if it should be that, or I'm not even sure. Can I talk to somebody? That's what Ask the Structure Support is. So you can send us videos and screenshots, kind of walk us through your store and be like, here's what my customer journey is. And here's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not even sure where to start. Where would you guys start? Then our instructors will send back videos and screenshots. Here's what I would do. Try this, start here. And, or, you know, hey, I'm trying to get this goal to fire and it's not working, or this pixel isn't firing back to Facebook. I don't know why. You know, it's like, we can help with the implementation side of things. We can help with the strategy side of things. And so that's kind of what Measurement Marketing Academy is for.
And I'll include the link so you can go and check out. So the website is measuremarketing.io, right?
Measurementmarketing.io. Yep.
Such good insights, you know, so the useful truths, right? Like, you don't need like the 100% like accuracy because that doesn't exist. What you need are the patterns, the thing that you can actually act upon or like your team can act upon and just kind of like improve things, right?
Yep.
Trends and patterns, 80%, like the iOS doesn't matter, you said, and like, I mean, a lot of great insights.
If you think about the iOS thing, because people, especially right now, because they're very freaked out about iOS, I get it. I totally get it.
There are people like selling, like training, like on how to like.
100%. But if you think, and you've been in marketing for a while, so you can remember back to like canned spam days, right? Or when Canada came out with their spam thing for email, I was getting emails from people saying, sorry, I'm kicking Canadians off my list. We're not going to email on Canada anymore because of this thing. I got emails from people saying, there's this crazy thing in Europe called GDPR. We're not talking to Europeans anymore because, you know, GDPR is going to follow me around the US and I got to pay all these fines, because everybody freaked out and they had this knee jerk reaction as opposed to like, let the changes occur and see how it's adjusting the waters before you try to get ahead of the curve, because you don't know where the wave's coming from. Now, yes, I understand the parent with people like, oh, I want to get ahead of the curve and be everybody, you know, beat out everybody. And I get that. And if it was obvious, I would do that same thing, but it wasn't. Facebook themselves throughout this entire thing has had the word may, could, might, right? In everything they've done. We think it's going to work like this, could work like that, might, because they didn't know what was going to go on, right? And still people don't. So let the waters calm down a little bit before you start taking your boat or swimming out to, you know, pick your analogy, swimming out your paddle to go pick up wave. Let it calm down a little bit, see what's going on, and then make an effort, you know, to make those money. Because all those people that kicked off the Canadians, that stopped marketing to Europeans, they just cut the revenue, right? Turns out they didn't have to do any of that. Not in the US anyway, they just had to adjust a few things. You know, if they had just calmed down, not reacted, and let the market sort of go through, see what they can see, and then figure out how to adjust to the market conditions.
Such a good point. Thank you so much, Chris. A lot of great insights. Guys, if you want to reach out to Chris, there should be a link. There are like different, you know, the Measure Marketing IO, and then you just figure out the option that if you want to get help from him and his team. And Chris, thank you so much. Thank you so much for making time.
No, appreciate it, Alex. Thanks again for having me. Happy to help.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys, and see you in the next video.
Welcome to E-commerce Scaling Secrets podcast. So on this podcast, we interview the best minds in online advertising and in e-commerce. And I share my personal experience spending over $40 million on paid advertising annually for our clients and their own business. So welcome to this podcast, guys.